President Biden took over at the White House close to a year ago with high expectations, the president promising to do a lot in terms of controlling COVID, getting the economy back on track, investing in infrastructure, passing voting rights legislation, and maybe the most important, uniting Congress to break those frustrating log jams.
Well, so far, some wins for the president, but a lot of defeats, and many of those recently. With us here to break down the Biden presidency so far, Stephen Farnsworth, professor of political science at the University of Mary in Washington in Virginia. He focuses on the mass media and the presidency. Stephen, thanks for being with us. So even if you take like the last, 48 hours, it has been pretty rough for Mr. Biden.
Well, absolutely. Remember, Joe Biden became president during a very difficult time. You have the huge economic and healthcare crisis of COVID. You have incredibly divided partisan politics in Congress and in the country. And so you're looking at somebody who's starting off in a very difficult spot.
Is the problem, though, if there is a problem, that he overpromised? You know, there's that old axiom that the best thing to do is underpromise and then overdeliver. Did he overpromise so that now it looks like he's really underdelivering?
Well, I think the reality is that running for president requires overpromising. If you can't describe yourself as really a transformational figure when you're running for office, you're probably not going to win. And so I think that, you know, what Joe Biden did during the campaign is what other presidential candidates have done during the campaign. Be very, very optimistic about what you can accomplish. Running for office requires poetry, whereas being in office requires chess skills. And that's a way in which pretty much every president doesn't live up to his own promotional efforts front end.
But isn't that what, in the end, drives people to be disillusioned with politics and politicians, that they get promised things, they believe the promises, maybe not all.
Where's my FDR?
Exactly. You know, and maybe they shouldn't believe the promises, but they do. And then, lo and behold, a year later, 2 years later, whatever, they kind of do a mental check and say, well, you know, we didn't get this, we didn't get that. And then they come to the conclusion that politics doesn't ever work, and that's wrong, too.
Well, I think you're exactly right. When you think about being a president and all the obstacles that are out there in front of it, when you're thinking about even when you have a majority in your own party in Congress running things there, you don't necessarily still have a Congress that's willing to do what you want. Remember when Donald Trump was running for president, he talked about abolishing the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. But even with Republican majorities, he couldn't do that. And right now we're seeing a very parallel situation in my mind when you're thinking about the difficulties that Biden is facing in terms of trying to get Joe Manchin and some other reluctant Democrats to go along with some of the economic packages and the voting rights packages that are out there. I think that we all estimate that presidents can do a lot more than they actually can. And that's why we're often disappointed. Every 4 years, Americans go through this cycle again. They think that the next president's going to be able to do things that the Constitution really doesn't permit them to do. And they're going to be disappointed when they find the limitations apply to this president as they applied to the first 40-some.
You mentioned Joe Manchin and then Kyrsten Sinema. Was there a problem, though, here reading the room and realizing that, okay, they're not going to go with all this stuff because it just felt like everybody was going to plow forward and then there was a sense that, yeah, we'll get him on board, it'll be fine, when in actuality, if you had stepped back, you could have probably said, well, some of this is going to have to be scaled down because these two are never going to go for it.
Well, I really do think that's the best way that that this administration could have moved forward. Basically, let Manchin write a bill that he's willing to sign, and then you'll have the other 49 Democratic senators do the same. It seems to me that the reality is that if the Democratic left wants more progressive legislation than you can get in a 50-50 Senate, then there needs to be more than 50 Democratic senators. Joe Manchin is the pivotal senator only because there are only 50 Democrats. If there were 51 or 52, we wouldn't be thinking much about what Joe Manchin had to say at all.
Okay, so you're a professor. Let's give a grade on a very singular metric here. President ran in large part on the notion that he was the experienced one. He was the one who knew how Washington worked. He was the one who could bring everything together, get those rusty wheels of government actually moving. How would you grade them thus far, coming up to a year now?
Well, you know, there have been some victories, right? If you think about the big infrastructure bill getting through, if you think about the president's appointment, if you think about, you know, keeping the promise of getting out of Afghanistan, it was chaotic, but the promise was kept in a way that Trump's promise to get out of Afghanistan never materialized. So, I mean, those sorts of positives are out there. The economy is generally working well. There are some issues with respect to inflation, but we're not talking about and supply chain, but you're also talking about really low unemployment. I mean, it's a mixed bag. I really think incomplete's the only way to do things, because ultimately presidents govern in two-year cycles. And I'm not convinced that there isn't some deal to be made that with Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema that Biden can call a win before the end of this year.
They obviously read the polling, and they're trying to get it out there again that, you know, hey, we have done things, because even the press conference today, the appearance today was all about the infrastructure bill, which now has been weeks. But it was kind of like, hey, everybody, remember this? We did this, and we're going to build these bridges, and you should all be happy about that. Don't forget.
Yeah, it's a short attention span country, and that's always bad news for politicians, because you don't have a lot of victories over 2 years or 4 years. And so when you do have one, you don't want people to forget about it right away. Similarly, you saw when Donald Trump was president, he was talking about his tax cut bill. That happened once early on, but it was something that he talked about throughout his presidency, because there weren't a lot of other things to draw your attention to. It's a tough job being president, and I think that the coverage of the president, especially the focus on the president, voters sometimes are given the impression that there just isn't that much of a say for Congress in this process. But really, Congress is driving the train. Pretty much everything legislatively has to go through them.
That's Stephen Farnsworth, professor of political science at University of Mary Washington in Virginia, focuses on mass media and the presidency. Professor, thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.